we celebrate new life in Christ. Amen. Amen. And some days we take for granted that we have been blood bought. We have been forgiven. And there's a whole lot of reason to live. Amen. Sometimes we do get buried by everything going on in life, but isn't it encouraging to know that Christ died for you and for me? He gave His life for us. That means no matter what other people say, you're worthy of His love because He says you are. Amen? Yeah. At this time, our kids may be dismissed if you're age kindergarten through fourth grade. Jeanette is going to lead you in a children's worship time on baptism. And you're going to get to witness a baptism in just a little bit this morning, right after the sermon. We continue this morning in our U Church series. What an age we live in of do-it-yourselfers. How many of you have a, how do you even say it, Pinterest account? Some of you are saying, yes, I've never been on the site. I'm scared of it. There are things being created by the do-it-yourselfers out there, that things with palettes and mason jars and toilet paper spools, and I never thought were possible. It's just amazing. Pinterest has really gained in the social media market share, hasn't it? It's because we have this desire in our world today to do it ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing to not leave it to the professional or to not leave it to mass production, but to just get in there and use the resources that you have and do it yourself. It's a good thing. We're living in a day and age of do-it-yourselfers. I just typed in the images for The Complete Idiot's Guide to, and it came up with all kinds of titles. Now, these may or may not have been listed on there, but The Idiot's Guide to Small Engine Repair, Small Appliance Repair, Wedding Planning, Selling on eBay for Fun and Profit. And then there may even be a Complete Idiot's Guide to Writing a Complete Idiot's Guide about everything. There's hundreds of them, it seems, when you go to Barnes & Noble and look at The Complete Idiot's Guide to. It's not for the professional who goes to formal training, it's for the do-it-yourselfers, people like us. And then, of course, there's the series that came before, The Complete Idiot's Guide to, and that was, anybody remember what that series was? Such and Such for Dummies, like Launching Your Own Satellite for Dummies, or Appendectomies for Dummies. Well, there's some things we just don't want to do ourselves, right, Rod? Right. All kidding aside, when Jesus said, you 11 guys, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and make disciples of all nations. He really was talking about us. And really, this idea of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives is not as scary as we may make it out to be. It has everything to do with not being something but someone. The new creation that God has made in us, we just begin to live it out. Amen. So, YouTube, shining example of do-it-yourselfers, and U Church. Last week we talked about, on this rock, I will build my church. Remember that interaction that Jesus had with his disciples? He turned to his disciples and said, what do people say about who I am? some of the disciples popped up and said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say that you're Ezekiel, some say that you're Elijah. And then Jesus turned to him and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God, thank you. And I tell you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Last week we talked about the inspirational power of the Holy Spirit alive and at work in you and me as individuals. And we also talked about the fact that God has ordained and constructed a structure called his body to accomplish his work and will and mission in the world today. It's called the church. The church recognizes the apostolic authority that God has placed at that moment in time into the context of the local church. The church recognizes this structure that we can do things together to accomplish the Great Commission that we cannot do as individuals. And so being part of the body, we move forward. Isn't it amazing that Paul the Apostle uses this illustration that we can really understand? He says, you are the body of Christ. You are the church. Now go, Jesus said, and make disciples of all nations. So let's read Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You've been seated for a while. Perhaps you would like to stand in reverence to God's word. I would invite you to do so. Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority has in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. You may be seated. Especially want to welcome you who are attending online this morning. Received several texts last Sunday morning that you were there. 815-973-5981 is my number. I'd love to know that you are watching this morning. 815-973-5981. If you just send me a text, I'd appreciate it so much. I like how the King James phrases the Great Commission of Jesus. The King James Bible reads, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't leave much out, does it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, make disciples everywhere you go. That it should be normal in Christianity for us to see people of all nationalities coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it's happening all over the world. People from all nations on earth, go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every creature. There's some things that we begin to see in Scripture as we start to look into the Great Commission that reveal the will of God for each and every one of us. You see, we become not just recipients of the grace and love of God, but we become ambassadors. Scripture tells us that we have become ambassadors of the love of Jesus Christ. That means that wherever we go, we're no longer representing ourselves, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within us. Amen, Cheryl. At work, at school, at home, Everywhere we go, we represent, and it's not about me anymore. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become ambassadors. It is our joy to share our story. The first thing I wanted to point out is, who shares the story? Us. You and me. You, church. You. This, we know this to be true because we see Jesus calling those 11 guys up to the mountain and say, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a tall order for 11 guys if it wasn't going to get any bigger than just those guys. Jesus was anticipating and expecting a response. He knew that the world was hurting for his grace and his love, just like our neighbors and our friends around us. You see, all our job is to do is to not make anybody respond or not make anybody accept, but just to share the love. Amen? To share his grace and to share our story. That's our testimony. Just to share what this new life is in us that he has brought about and made possible. This is our life story. Our new life story. Amen? This is my life. My new life story in Jesus Christ. So how are we supposed to do this? Man, when I think about preaching to every creature on earth, it might seem a little bit overwhelming until we realize that we are in this together and it's not us that has to make it happen. Amen? Now, we need to be willing, and it's a joy to be willing, but there's something bigger than us at work here. We've been talking about power and about how we get it wrong when we believe that we can somehow produce power, that we are powerful beings. Rather, it is not that we are powerful beings, it is God's power within us. Amen? So as we move and live and have our being, it is Jesus Christ living in and through us. Because I get tired. And like our district superintendent said last time he was here, he said, you know, when I go to a church meeting and I get blessed, he says, I feel full. And then he says, on Monday, I discover that I leak. And we you know, the world does. It takes it out of us, doesn't it? But we come back and we get filled at the source, the living well, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, drink the water I give and you'll never thirst again. He is our living well. So how do we do this? Where's the power come from? This power of God is at work in you and in me to fulfill just sharing our story. It's the Great Commission. It's as simple as you and me. When I have people in the barber chair, I share about my life because they share it with me. And many times I've gotten around to the point of sharing about how God has changed my life and about the direction that he's placed on my life and the joy that I find in serving Jesus. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, you're going to love this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. You can't do that by yourself. Amen? Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. You see, power from God comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can't make this up. You can't have the courage. You don't have the courage to do what Christ is calling you and me to do. And if we look at it and we think, oh, how am I going to share Jesus with my neighbor? If you'll turn around, you'll see a great big yellow stripe up my back. But isn't it amazing that when we saturate ourselves with the Word of God and we begin to see the world and our neighbors through the eyes of Christ, we begin to see it's as simple as just sharing the new life that God has given me in Christ. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. He's with me. And we share. Spending time in His Word and with His people helps us to see the world through His eyes. I love it. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, God gave them gifts and graces to communicate cross-culturally. Turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. You're going to love this. Here they were. They all got filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's read on. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Literally translated, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya under Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" You see, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us His power and His grace to fulfill the Great Commission. Isn't it interesting? After Jesus was crucified, those 11 disciples kind of cowered in fear. They were scared. They were scared, number one, that they were next to be crucified, and they were scared about the reality that they were going to become targets of ridicule and targets as insurrectionists of Rome. And they knew that they didn't have it in them to keep it going. They just knew it. So they were afraid. And then, as they were all together in one place, I want to tell you, when you get to that place in life and you're scared about what God's calling you to do, don't let the devil get you all off in a corner somewhere. Come together with the body. Be a part of the body of Christ, and you will begin, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to sense something happening in you. It's the movement of His Spirit giving you His power. As we say yes to Him. Here's ordinary guys. For sure there were 11 of them. Judas didn't make the meeting. But the 11 that were left were there. There may have been others. Ordinary men. And yet God did something amazing in them. He still does this today. Amen. He still fills His people with His Spirit. And with His power. I'm amazed at people who can tackle what seems insurmountable to me, linguistics, and it just comes natural to them. They have the grace and gifts necessary to learn another language and communicate cross-culturally. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see that Jesus defined our ministry, our role, as threefold: local, regional, and global. Local, regional, and global. We can't say, "Oh, I'm just going to specialize in one, Jesus. I'm just going to minister to my neighbors." You may be very effective in your neighborhood, but Jesus also has a role for you to minister globally. You say, "How can I do that?" Oh, we're just getting started. here, these disciples were able to speak other languages because they had the power of the Holy Spirit in them, and they were given the gift and grace at that moment to remove all cultural barriers. They were able to minister to people right where they are. And isn't that the miracle that God gives us even today? To identify and to have compassion and to be able to minister and relate to people who are completely different than we are. And yet he does it through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues there that day, and each heard the wonders of God in their own language. A beautiful, beautiful move of God. But we also see in Acts chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, some, however, who were looking on made fun of them and said, oh, they've had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You know what I see in that? Is that even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you go out and you just share Jesus as lovingly and full of compassion as you can, there's still going to be people that look at you and say, I don't know about you. Hopefully they won't say, well, you're just drunk. Some people are so happy in the Lord, you know, you wonder, are their feet even touching the ground? You know, I don't know. I don't judge. But know that it's normal for people to, when you share your story about the love of Jesus, to go, you hear that? And ridicule and mock and make fun of. And if we're not careful, we can kind of wear that as a badge of honor when we get offended, or even when we're being offensive and we claim the name of Jesus to be offensive or a reason to be offended. We can wear it as a badge of honor. But that's not what the apostles did. No. Peter stood up and he stayed. And he took time to explain the beauty of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in its fullness. Do you hear me all the way back? What a great day for those disciples to get all self-righteous and say, well, if you don't think this is real, you just get what's coming to you and walk off. No, Peter stayed. Can you hear me all the way back? This is vitally important. Anyone can get frustrated and offended at someone who rejects the message of Jesus, myself included. I can wear it as a badge of honor. Well, didn't accept Christ, well, nothing I can do for him then. But if we take the model of Peter, Peter stayed and he shared. And he continued in consistency to share. He managed his emotions of disappointment. He managed his emotions. You know what it feels like to be rejected? That's, oh, very painful. You know what it feels like to be shown the door? But Peter stayed and he continued to share the message as he preached a sermon that day. You see, it takes the Spirit of Christ in us to stay consistent and true to the mission, even in the midst of being poked and jabbed by those who have the intention to discourage you. But you remember, suffering, as Christ did, is part of normal discipleship. It means that we too, as we pick up our cross and follow Him, ought to be prepared to endure some ridicule and insult for the sake of the high calling of being patient like Jesus and long-suffering like Jesus. What I see in this text is Peter's willingness to remain and clarify and testify. And it is our job to clarify and testify also. Next, Acts 2:41. You're going to like this, Jeff. Rod. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Think about what an opportunity those 11 disciples would have missed if they got all offended because somebody in the crowd spoke up and said, they're just drunk. But Peter stayed, and he remained consistent, and as a result, they tuned in to what he was saying, and as he spoke, the Holy Spirit worked and preceded you and preceded me as we share our story about what Jesus has done. And he does that. Know that as the Holy Spirit is working in you, he's also preparing the way for new believers to accept him, just as he did for you and for me. Amen. He is at work preparing the way for those conversations to occur. Stay consistent and truthful to the message, and God will bless. Well, those believers were ready for their next steps. And who was there to lead them? Those 11 guys. And I got to thinking this week as I was preparing for this message, there are new Christians in my life around me that may be looking for a cue from my life in regards to what their next steps ought to be. Amen. So I want to encourage you to invite them into your home for a small group Bible study. Help them discover the truth, the amazing truth, and experience what it is to see truth of Scripture come alive and just like, this is so relevant to my life. Invite them to a group at church, men's group or adult group or pipeline or Celebrate Recovery. Invite them over for, well, just take one night of the week. We call it Friends on Friday. Just invite some friends over. Every week. Just invite people over. And Jesus will be shared. Because it's who we are. You don't have to beat anybody over the head. Not at all. But just sharing your life story is a beautiful joy that we know as serving Jesus. Give handles from God's Word on parenting, discipleship, marriage, finances, physical, emotional, and relational wellness. All just beaming from God's Word. The new Christians in our lives are looking to those of us who are a little further along in the journey to help them with the next steps. Amen? What a joy. So how can a local church like you and me affect the entire world? Well, it starts by being the church right where you are. Right here, right now, in your neighborhood. In every neighborhood, in every niche. Be the church when you go to the barber shop, when you go to the hair salon, when you go to Walmart, when you go through the drive-thru, when you leave a tip at the restaurant, when you go to the gas station, when you're on vacation. Be the church. Just be the church. Amen? Let Jesus move and live and work and live through you. You, church, be the church. Say, but how can I affect the entire world? Well, you can. By being part of something bigger than ourselves. Doing something bigger than any one of us could do by ourselves. Our mission as a local church is to administer the Word of God as it applies to every area of life. See, we believe as a church that when Jesus comes into a life, when you invite Jesus into your life, He brings help and healing in every area of that life. Your finances, your emotions, your relationships, everything about your mental health, everything about you is going to be affected by this new perspective, by this new life in you, by this recreation in His image, this new life in you. We believe as a church that we are living in a post-Christian era. It's not the America that our grandparents grew up in. As a result, there's a calling on our church, a calling on our lives to be available as first contact. That first contact will be positive, encouraging. So we do strange things here. We build an iceberg up here for the community to come and visit Santa Claus. Really, it had something to do with Santa Claus because, there's nothing negative about that message. It's part of it is that we look forward to the opportunity to interacting with our community and laying down some positive steps, some positive groundwork for interaction between the church and the unchurched. And we're in a unique position to be able to do that. Right in the middle of town, in a non-traditional setting. Our philosophy is to meet people where they already are. As they move and live and work through and walk through this series of buildings, buying and interacting with merchants, they're looking in our window and saying, what's this here? Oh, there's a church that meets here? And we begin to interact relationally. Not so much with signage, find Jesus here, with a blinking strobe light, but more, we would love to interact and first of all, be your friend. Our motive is number one, to love as Jesus loved, which has nothing to do with your belief system as I begin to interact with you. If you look at the back of our bulletin, you'll see that we appreciate and value relationships with atheists, agnostics, people who are disappointed with the church, with people who are very different than us. You see, we believe as a church that it's important, first of all, to love. And with that love comes relationship. And with that relationship comes that you're going to stick by me when the hard times come. And even though I may not have questions of a spiritual nature now, we all have lived long enough to know that the press comes and squeezes these questions out of us, like, where is God? And how could God? And God gives us an opportunity to walk alongside, amen, and be a friend. When those questions come up, we have a life story to tell. And we believe that because we are the body of Christ, we must work together to get the work done. There is synergistic momentum that happens as we work together. Just as the disciples modeled working together with the larger church. Oh, there was tension. All you got to do is read the New Testament and see that the early church had a hard time with Jerusalem church, which was so Judaistic in its outlook, and they were thinking about, you know, imposing all the laws of Moses and all the laws that had been developed since the Ten Commandments, and the new Christians from Asia Minor were looking on and saying, wait a minute, we come from a totally different side of the tracks. And yet, what do you see? You see that Jerusalem became kind of like the headquarters, and even the churches in Asia Minor, as Paul was making his missionary journey, he was talking about the church in Jerusalem, he was talking about the church in Ephesus, and he was talking about the church in Philippi, and he in the church in Corinth, and he was building a network of people who were mutually supportive and respective of each other, but they were very different. Amen? And yet, isn't that how different the parts of the body are? This part of my body is very different than this part of my body. And yet they serve a very important function, just different. Amen? We are a part of something bigger than us. We're part of a district. For instance, the Northwest Illinois District Church of the Nazarene, there's Pastor Nathan. We have about 50 churches in this corner, northwestern corner of Illinois. There's our district superintendent, Scott and Sherry Sherwood. They were here a few months ago, or he was here a few months ago. So we're organized as a district. We're also organized as a region. Each region supports an educational institution in the Church of the Nazarene. Some of you, many of you probably are aware of Olivet Nazarene University and have been there. There's some books back there just came in the mail this week about the ministry of Olivet. Living Well is also a part that's in Kankakee over there in Bourbonnais, not far away. Living Well is also part of a denominational family called the Church of the Nazarene. Right on the website of www.nazarene.org, you'll see that the Church of the Nazarene as a denomination exists to assist the local church in fulfilling the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. Through our denomination, which exists to assist the local church in fulfilling the mission of Jesus, we participate in the World Evangelism Fund, where 5.5% of every dollar you give is given as forwarded on to our World Evangelism Fund through the arm of the Church of the Nazarene around the world. For instance, in 2014, from a total church income worldwide of $868 million, just over $79 million was given by our 29,000 local churches in support of making disciples in all the nations. Amen. That's how you and I reach into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 705 missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene, your World Evangelism Fund dollars support that work. As of 2014, 702 missionaries sent from 35 world areas into 159 world areas. You can look it all up if you like on nazarene.org. 5 graduate seminaries, 14 liberal arts institutions, 31 undergraduate Bible and theological colleges, 3 specialized training colleges. Through our liberal arts universities, we train missionaries and pastors and doctors and geologists and sociologists and scientists and physical education teachers and dietitians and law enforcement and psychologists to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Finally, we are Christian, which means we follow Christ together with the other parts of the larger body. Church of the Nazarene is not the only church. We're this part or this part or this part, or we're part of the larger body, amen? And we have a specific role to fill that's not any better than anybody else. We're just created to do something unique for God. We partner with other Christian groups and denominations because we do that, because we can do it better together than we can by ourselves. For instance, coming in for a landing. Our Jesus film teams have reported, and then the Jesus Film Project is a ministry that's supported by multiple denominations. We support it as a Church of the Nazarene. And let me tell you, because we participate in something bigger than just us, listen to this. These are stats of 2015. 69,546,967 evangelistic contacts. In other words, people who have watched the Jesus film in other world areas. And out of a result of that, 13 plus million decisions for Jesus Christ. 5 million initial discipleship follow-ups. In other words, as they come and receive Jesus, someone goes and makes contact with them and begins building a personal relationship with them. As a result of that, nearly 50,000 preaching points have been established because we participate in the Jesus Film Ministry Project. We are the body of Christ. Together, we are His body in the world today. I want to invite you in the weeks ahead as an invitation to move from a mindset of this is where I go to church to this is where I belong. There's no pressure to join, and you are welcome to attend until Jesus returns. But I want to invite you to become a member if it's something that you feel convicted about. Become a member of the body of Christ in a meaningful, effective way, church membership. It is a commitment to love the church, warts and all, wrinkles and all, faults and all, and to seek to live out the fulfillment of the Great Commission within the context of a local body where people know you and you know them, warts and wrinkles and all. Next Sunday, I'll be offering an opportunity for you to join the church. No pressure. I just want you to know the door is open to you. It's not a light decision, however, and I would request that you not make it as an emotional decision, but rather based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you believe that that voice of the Holy Spirit in your life is saying, you'll be more effective if you jump in over your head with those folk and just get to work and be all in. And we come from a variety of backgrounds and contexts, and that's not right for everybody. Sometimes we need time to just be present and have a ministry of presence ministered to us, and that's good too. But I just believe that sometimes the Holy Spirit says, you'll really grow as a disciple if you just jump in. And I don't want anybody to miss that because I didn't let the invitation out there. Jeff, are you ready to be baptized, buddy?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do you need to change clothes or anything? Awesome. I love it when someone jumps in with their clothes on. Come on up. Your smartphone's not in your pocket or anything. Okay. There's a microphone floating around here somewhere that doesn't have a cord on it.
Floating.
Oh, not in there, but... Bill has a microphone, and I've asked Jeff to share some of his life story this morning. Not all of it's going to be shared, because you have quite a testimony, Jeff, but he's going to share a little bit. Come on over so they can see you on the live stream. Come on over here in the light. See you there? Okay. And as you share, Jeff... we're anxious to hear what God's doing in your life right now.
Well, when I was a kid, we all went to the First Church of the Open Bible and had a lot of good memories there. And I once, we discovered a baptismal tank. So everybody got baptized at the First Church of the Open Bible. But, you know, that was a long, long time ago. And then for some reason, I just went on another path in my life and maybe tried to do it on my own. Well, I just realized it wasn't working out for me. And the choices that I've made here within the past several months, which stem from the realization that I was in a very dark place, and I just said, I've had enough of this. Wasn't working out. Whatever I was doing, nothing's working. But I'm in a place right now, I haven't felt this happy and content, and the fear doesn't roll through my veins like it used to. And I just know this, I'm just a seed that sprouted, and I have a lot of room to grow. And everything's just been very positive here lately for me, and I feel like I'm on a path that's been lightened. And therefore, I appreciate everybody for accepting me for who I am. And I am looking forward to growing in the future. And I'm ready to be baptized.
I thought maybe I'd come here and just get my head dunked. Yeah. But that was wrong.
Well, if you want to just go ahead and get right in there, you're going to get wet. Unless you want me to, would you like me to?
Belly flopping?
Yeah. Are you okay with immersion?
Yes.
Jeff? All right.
Yes.
All right.
I can swim.
I like that, because
I can hold my breath.
The Church of the Nazarene practices baptism in three ways. One is sprinkling. It represents the sprinkling of blood practiced in the Old Testament, where as you were sprinkled by the blood, your sins were forgiven. We also believe in pouring, that the Bible doesn't specifically mention a way to baptize. And for some reason, sometimes physical, an individual can't go under the water. So we acknowledge that that is baptism, just like being immersed underwater. But there is a powerful illustration that happens when we immerse an individual. It represents being dead, falling back, and being buried, and then being raised to new life. And this water doesn't cleanse from sin. We acknowledge that it is only the blood of Jesus Christ that makes that possible. And so this baptism is a symbol of the work that's already happened here in your repentance and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. That baptism, we are not the only church that does this. Amen. Baptism is a sign and seal of the new covenant of grace, the significance of which is attested to by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, where he says, "Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection." The earliest and simplest statement of Christian belief to which you now come to be baptized is the Apostles' Creed. It reads, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body." It's this faith that I want to invite you to be baptized into today. And I know you've been a Christian for a long time, but there's something beautiful about saying, "Lord, you've been working in my life, and you were baptized as a child, from what I understand." Well, we live a lot of life experience from, 20, 25, 30.
Go on.
Okay, I'm not going to go
Can't
any
you
further.
Tell the gray, huh?
But you know what? Jesus is giving new life here. Amen?
Amen.
And Jeff comes to testify to that fact, that God has given him a fresh start. And we celebrate that together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just going to have you go ahead and sit down. How's the water, Jeff?
Stay in here for a while.
Okay, it's not bad? All right.
Nice and warm for you.
Let me make sure I can get you back up if I get you down there. All right. If you'd like to plug your nose or anything. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for what you're doing right here and right now. We thank you that we can celebrate this new life in Jesus Christ. Blessed now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jeff, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, I now baptize you. Rise and walk in newness of life and know his forgiveness of your sins, my friend. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, you're very welcome. Amen. All right. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up, and I'm going to read the results of our elections. Our stewards for this year have been elected as Brittany Lewis and Shelley Long. Our trustees have been elected as Dan Long and Halacio Valdez. Our NYI president has been elected as Brandon Wyatt. And our missions president has been elected as Ella Mankey. Our Sunday school and discipleship ministries has been elected as Jeanette Trotter. And Bill Young serves as our delegate to district assembly, and Mark Ellis as our alternate. And let's congratulate these who have been elected to office. What a great morning. Amen. Let's get on our feet and celebrate. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Just can't wait for the music, can you?
It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. We're strong, you know, love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. And He so loved the world, He sent His Son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the poor in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For this is the kingdom. The kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.